Today, who takes the risk in banking? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Alongside the property exposures data that we've already discussed recently, see our post, The Mortgage Industry in Three Slides, APRA also released their quarterly data relating to banks in Australia to March 2018. In summary, the total profits were up 9.1% compared with a year ago. Total assets grew 3% over the same period. The capital base grew 5.8%. The capital adequacy ratio rose 0.4 percentage points. And the liquidity coverage ratio rose 8.3 percentage points. So, superficially at least, all the ratios suggest a tightly run ship. But it is worth looking in more detail at these statistics because, as we will see, below the waterline, things look less pristine. But first, there were 148 authorised depository institutions, ADIs, aka banks, at the end of March. Endeavour Mutual Bank Limited changed its name from Select Encompass Credit Union Limited, with effect from the 9th of February. Gateway Bank Limited changed its name from Gateway Credit Union Limited, with effect from the 1st of March. And My Credit Union Limited had its authority to carry on banking business in Australia revoked. So the net number rose by one from December 2017. In terms of overall performance, APRA says that the net profit after tax for all ADIs was $36.4 billion for the year ending the 31st of March 2018. This is an increase of just over $3 billion or 9.1% on the year ending the 31st of March 2017. This was because of a nice hike in mortgage margins in reaction to the regulator's intervention in the investor mortgage sector, and a significant drop in overall provisions. But top-line revenue growth slowed, and margins have started to tighten. As a result, profits were lower this quarter compared with the prior three quarters. The cost-to-income ratio for all ADIs was 48.5% for the year to the 31st of March, compared to 48.2% in the prior year. In other words, the costs of the business grew faster than income. The return on equity for all ADIs increased to 12.3% for the year ending the 31st of March, compared to 11.7% last year. We suspect that this increase will not be repeated in the coming year. That said, an ROE of 12.3% would still put the banking sector near the top of both Australian companies and global banks, reflecting a lack of true competition and some poor practices as laid bare by the Royal Commission. The quest for profit growth from some players has proved to be at the cost of customers. If banks do become more customer-focused, it is possible that ROEs will fall and one-off penalties and fees, for example, CBA and ANZ, will also hit returns. The total assets for all ADIs was $4.67 trillion at the 31st of March. This is an increase of $135.9 billion or 3% on last year and was largely driven by mortgages, which grew strongly over the period. The total gross loans and advances for all ADIs was $3.22 trillion as at the 31st of March. And this is an increase of $161.4 billion or 5.3% compared with the 31st of March 2017. The total capital ratio for all ADIs was 14.8% as at the 31st of March, an increase from 14.4% on the previous year. This is a reflection of higher APRA targets. The Common Equity Tier 1 ratio for all ADIs was 10.7% as at March, an increase from 10.3% a year earlier. The risk-weighted assets for all ADIs was $1.99 trillion at the 31st of March 2018, an increase of $53.9 billion or 2.8% compared with last year. So if you compare the $3.22 trillion in assets with the $1.99 trillion weighted assets for capital purposes, you can see the impact of lower risk weights for some asset types. Looking at impairments for all ADIs, we see that impaired facilities were $11.4 billion as at March 2018, and this is a decrease of $2.1 billion or 15.7% on the previous year. Past due items were $15.4 billion as at the 31st of March 2018. And this is an increase of $1.6 billion or 11.5% on the previous year. Rising 90-day delinquencies for mortgage loans was the main reason for the uplift, despite commercial loans performing a little better. Expect more delinquencies ahead, as indicated by our mortgage stress analysis. See our post, Mortgage Stress on the Rise. That said, impaired facilities and past due items as a proportion of gross loans and advances was 0.83% at the 31st of March 2018, a decrease from 0.89% the previous year. And specific provisions were $5.9 billion at the 31st of March. This is a decrease of $0.8 billion or 11.7% from the previous year. In addition, specific provisions as a proportion of gross loans and advances was 0.18% at the 31st of March, a decrease from 0.22% as at the 31st of March the previous year. But there were two really important observations in the data. When we look at just the big four banks, the first is that total loans and advances by the four majors reached $2.55 trillion, a record, and 63.69% of all of their loans were for housing lending. Not since 2012 has this been such a high proportion. Its previous peak was 64.48% in June 2011. The proportion of investor loans fell slightly thanks to the recent tightening, but owner-occupied lending by the big four remains strong. Think about it. Nearly 64% of all loans are property related. So consider what a significant fall in prices would mean for them. The second observation relates to the critical banking ratios. We all know that APRA have been pushing the capital ratios and the newer CET1 ratio from January 2013 higher. And these are all rising, with the CET1 sitting on an APRA basis at 10.5%, the highest it's been. However, if you look at the ratio of shareholder capital to loans, it is sitting at a miserly 5.4%. In other words, for every $100 invested in the loans made by the bank, an investor only has $5.40 at risk. This is, in extremis, the heart of the banking business. And this explains why shareholder returns are so high from banking. These are highly leveraged businesses. And if their risk and loan underwriting standards are not correctly calibrated, it can go wrong very quickly. And by the way, the smaller banks and mutuals have much lower leverage ratios, so they are simply less risky businesses. Now, banking is a risk business, but we see here laid bare who is taking the risks while the shareholders are doing very nicely, thank you. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or a question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.